Father, bless the word this morning. Feed our spirits. And Lord, what is shared, let it be a revelation of your love and life to our lives. Let it transform and change us. Again, we are the clay. We're asking you to mold us this morning according to your heart's desire. Amen. We're in a season to discover what I'd call the bottom line, what's important to us. And, you know, that's different for different people. If you're in the world without a spiritual awareness, there's a lot of idols you can serve, a lot of things that can captivate your attention, your energy. Come into the church world, and it's different, but doesn't necessarily mean it's spiritual. I think a lot of the focus in church is about fixing the problems of the world, and those problems do need fixing, and they are going to be fixed permanently. But really, the bottom line, and you'll hear messages about this every now and then, our journey is to the Father. Yes, there's living works to be done. Yes, we're to be an answer in the world we live in today. So many true things that we can say about what it means to be a Christian. But the most important is, if we're in Christ, we're one with the Father. This journey of life, and you look at your history and what you've been through, what you're going through, doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless we understand that that is the bottom line. Our destiny, our journey, is to bring us back into intimate communion with the Father. To know Jesus Christ, which is the focal point of being a church, right? The devotion to Christ is what we're all about, worshiping Christ. He's our Lord and Savior. To really know him is to know the Father. When he was in the earth, what did he do? Many wonderful things, but he revealed to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was this, a person in whom God could live and demonstrate who he was without any interference. To accept Jesus, to see Jesus, to receive what he said, what he did, you're receiving the Father. So at this point and in this season, I think we need to connect in a deeper way and have a deeper revelation of where we're headed. Kingdom of God, earth being transformed, I'm going to be transformed. All these wonderful things are all a part of it. But the love of God is drawing you and calling you home. Let's look at the prodigal son. We turn to Luke chapter 15. And you say, weren't we here a few weeks back? Brother Fred was leading us through this, and I think we're going to hit it again today. This is a story about a spiritual journey back to the Father. Now, Luke 15, I don't know if we're going to read the verses or just refer to them. It's from verse 11 through verse 32. The younger son decides to go out on his own, take his inheritance, make a life for himself. And of course, we know that doesn't end up too well for him. And so, if we're looking at what went wrong, if the lens or our glasses that we're looking through is the tree of knowledge, we would look and examine what he did wrong. And we'd say, well, here's how he fell. These are the sins he committed. But that is the wrong lens to see this through. What's the problem with looking at things through the law? If we look at the younger son, we could say, well, all he had to do is clean up his act, and then everything would be right. Picture this, the younger son coming to his senses, but instead of saying, I've got to get back to my father, he says, I've been behaving badly here. I just have to clean up my act. I've got to behave differently. I'm going to stay right where I'm at and make a good life for myself. Now, he could have done that, and the destiny would have been lost, wouldn't it? The will of God still wouldn't have been done. Let's look at the same story through the lens of the tree of life. The problem wasn't what the son did wrong. The problem is he left the presence of his father. Amen. The problem is that independent self-will. He looked at his dad and said, I can make it without you. Give me what's mine. Let me go out and make it for myself. And you know what? The younger son, I'm sure, didn't set out to be a failure, right? He didn't say, give me all my inheritance. I'm going to go out and blow it. He thought he'd go out and make a success of his life. So what is the spiritual journey when we talk about coming to the point where it says in one verse he came to his senses? What does it mean to come to a point of true repentance? Come to our senses, that epiphany where we realize, you can call it hitting rock bottom, that moment of clarity where we understand what God is after. It's not evaluating our behavior and simply making some changes in our lifestyle or self-improvement. It's coming to a revelation of independent self and how that's taken us away from the presence of our Father. And at that point, I think that really is true repentance, isn't it? To realize it's not good or bad, but if we're doing it outside of God, we're missing his will. Jesus, our spiritual Superman, we look at him and say he could do anything and everything. True. But he said, I can do nothing apart from my Father. Amen. He was totally dependent on God living through him. Are we any different? We think we are. And that's what a religious spirit is all about. The soulish striving, what I can do in myself for God. But the reality is, and that moment of clarity is when we recognize we've left the presence of God not because of things we've done wrong, but because of that sense of independence, having to do it our way in our strength. And that's what that younger son came to. I mean, he says it came to his senses, a true repentance. He came to a point where he realized how he had offended his Father. And I think with all of us, when we're still in that place of the blame game and pity parties and feeling guilt and condemnation, we're really evading the truth. A lot of that sounds good. It sounds very religious. Oh, I'm so worthless and this, that, and the other. But often that stance is a defensive stance trying to protect us. We're trying to protect ourselves from God's presence. When we really come clean before God, you're not blaming anyone else. You're saying, God, against thee alone I have sinned. Why? Because I'm trying to do it apart from you. I'm trying to carve out my destiny apart from being totally dependent on your grace and spirit and love. Again, that's the heart of repentance. What happens when we come to that point, come to our senses? Our spiritual journey then is one going back to the Father, isn't it? I think that's the course we're on. Now, if we haven't come to that point and that realization, if we're still struggling with legalism, still struggling with trying to do the law, what are we doing? Well, I'll tell you what we're not doing. We're not returning to him. We're moving. A lot of moving parts, a lot of action, a lot going on. But we're not being drawn back to the presence of our Father if we don't recognize, again, that independence, that self-will, how it's led us astray. So the younger son, in verse 19, he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. This is what he's going to say to his father. Now, this is an error, isn't it? He is a son. But what I want to point out is the humility that he's experiencing. Any true repentance, true spiritual clarity, there is a humility. He doesn't have a sense of entitlement. Oh, I blew it, but I'm important. Dad will take me back. He's devastated. He doesn't feel worthy at all. So his journey back to the Father is, we know it's one of faith. But can I point out a couple of other ingredients? It's a journey of humility and gratitude. I don't think we can come back to the presence of God without those qualities. There's a lot of people that have great zeal, and they're trying to move in great faith, and they're trying to bombard heaven with their loud words and prayers and everything else. There's no spiritual movement in soulish striving. We need the humility of heart. That's what we need to be clothed with. And we're going to look at a scripture about this. And a grateful heart. When we are grateful, when we are humble, your spirit's in motion toward the presence of God. Gratitude is something I want to look at real quick. And we're going to look at a few verses. You say, well, if I had more to be grateful for, it wouldn't be a problem. So That's a cop-out. We look at our circumstances and our problems and we say, the reason I'm not thankful is because of all these obstacles. I want to disprove that theory. Take a child that's spoiled, given everything. How grateful is that child? They're the most miserable person on the planet. So we tell God that if only I had more things going my way, I'd be thankful. And God looks down and says, no, thankfulness is an attitude of heart. It has nothing to do with what you have or what you don't have. So let's look at a few verses on thankfulness. Because again, what's this all about? When you are being thankful, you are returning to his presence. Let's look at Psalm 100, verse 4. And you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. We can do this later. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's all I want to read. Gate into what? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. The gateway to the Father. His presence, his heart, his mind. A thankful heart takes you through. Just a few verses back in Psalm 95:2. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Again, the link between a thankful heart and the presence of God. One more. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What's God's will for us? What's our destiny? Oh, am I supposed to be a prophet, apostle, teacher? Whatever your office, whatever gifts you move in, your destiny is to be a thankful heart. That is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It says here, in everything give thanks. There's a lot of things that we look at and say, I'm not thankful for that. Things didn't work out my way. I didn't ask for that. But you see, thankfulness is not connected to the circumstance. It's connected to an attitude of heart. Amen. Giving thanks in all things is an awareness of his presence, that God is in control, that he loves you. You're not looking at a certain problem and saying, I'm so thankful for that problem, trying to somehow manipulate your mind to be positive about it. It's not on that realm. You're thankful because of who he is, who you're one with. And when we have that awareness, when we know we're returning to the presence of the Father, he gives us a whole new perspective on our circumstances and our problems. And hopefully, and I think he does, he brings changes to those problems too. But first, we need a new perspective. We need to see things the way God sees them. Son is coming back to the Father, and when he comes back to his presence, we're back in Luke 15. He comes and he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, in verse 21. Verse 22, the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead, verse 24, and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to be merry. Disconnect. The son comes back and he has a certain self-image, doesn't he? A certain identity. I am not worthy. You know, there are a lot of people that is their sense of identity, unfortunately. They identify themselves by what they're not. And it takes a revelation of the Father's heart to identify us by what we are in him. So the son comes before God and says, I'm not worthy. That's not a great statement of faith, is it? The Father's voice overrides him and says, let's rejoice. My son's back. When we're in the presence of God, God's voice overrides our own or other voices that are impacting us with lies. When we're apart from his presence, we're trying and we're struggling to hear God's voice. Oh yeah, God says I'm a son, and then all these other voices come in. You're not worthy. Look what you did wrong. Look what you're not. And we're in this struggle and battle. The more we're aware of his presence, it's like God's voice is superimposed over all the others. And that's the voice that rules. His voice creates identity. How do you get better self-esteem? Well, I would suggest not trying to work with yourself too much on it, hear what God has to say about you. That brings healing to our esteem, to see ourselves the way he sees us. And that's what happened to the younger son. He comes back and he says, I'm not worthy. That's a lie. The father doesn't say, what's wrong with you? How can you say that? Father just in his love speaks his voice and brings healing to his son. Zechariah chapter 3 talks about this process, doesn't it? Joshua the high priest standing in the presence of God. Satan is there to accuse him. And then what does God say? Is this not, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Joshua is in the presence of God where God's voice can override what's the accusations that the devil's bringing. What happens in that state? You remember? He's given clean clothes to wear. Fresh turban put on his head. The turban is the mind of Christ that comes to us. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says, clothe yourselves with humility. In his presence, we are clothed. And we say, well, I thought we were clothed with righteousness. Well, one becomes the other, doesn't it? When we have true humility, when we're clothed in his humility, that is his righteousness that's being imparted to us. All this is taking place in presence of the Father, not apart from it. Verse 24, and we just read that, talking about the son coming alive. And this is really the true issue that God is looking for. When we truly find his presence, and again, just let yourself be aware. Cry out for that revelation. Father, beyond my circumstances, beyond church agenda and religion, what are you after? And you're going to hear this. You're going to feel the love of the Father just reaching for you and saying, I want you for myself. When we look back in Exodus, we read about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. We can say, well, the plan of God was really clear. They were slaves. He brought them out, give them their own land. They can be free. That's true. But there was something deeper he wanted, wasn't it? He said, I brought you out so I can be a father to you, so I can have fellowship with you. That part they didn't get. Same thing today. I see, look in the church, I think we look and see the blessings that God wants to bring. And we're all over that. We need blessings. We need the promises fulfilled. But do we see that the blessor is the real, real promise that we're given? And we can have our own land. God can fulfill promises for us. But if we don't have that oneness with the Father in our experience, what's it going to do for us? And I think church today is overly obsessed. People are just, you know, we have all these needs, got to have all these answers. Look at our body right here. We need healings. Definitely. But destiny is about your oneness with the Father. And you know, when you make the blesser your priority, you don't lose the blessings. You know, if the Israelites would have come out and said, we're going to go to the mountain of God. Moses, where are you going? Take us with you. We're going to worship God. We want a relationship with him. They would have still had the promised land. They would have gotten there a lot sooner. But when we make an idol out of the blessings, we can lose sight of the blesser. I think that's happened a lot in the church world. And we've just got to guard our hearts with that. What is your destiny? What's your journey? Where are you moving? Well, I'm just moving through one problem to another. I feel like I'm walking through a field with landmines. I'm afraid to put my foot down. Might blow up. Well, life can give you that feeling, can't it? So many things going on. So many moving parts. So many problems we deal with. That's not destiny. Destiny is not survival. For you to survive your problems. Destiny is that revelation of your Father, your Heavenly Father, becomes greater and greater. You're moving back toward him, amen. Moving in oneness with him. All right, we're going to close with this. Two ways in which we withdraw from the Father's presence. And I think this is important that we recognize. First, we've seen with the younger son, and Fred covered this, distance, right? Independent self-will, he moved away, I'm going to do it myself. And we can see that the further we get distance away, that's withdrawal from God himself. I don't think we see it this way. When we get caught up in ourselves, you know, that self-will, that soulish, I can make it, I'm going to do it. The world honors that. you know, self-made person. That's great. But people don't realize that when we're doing that spiritually, we're saying, God, I don't need you. See you later. I got a better plan. Your will was fine for a while, but I've got a better way to do this. We don't realize what it does to our spirit. The other is the older son. There all the time. We can read about this later. He's incensed. Why are you throwing a party for this younger son? Look what he did. You've never done this for me. And the father says, you've always been here. I can always do this for you. To me, the older son is like religion. You know the expression, close but no cigar. Right around the father, right around God. We've got all the right teachings, all the right doctrines. We go to church all the time. We do all the right things. But no real connection with the heart of the father. No life going on. No real communion. That's something that Jesus talked about, the yeast, the Pharisees. That religious spirit becomes something other than your relationship with God. It takes you away from it. We've got to guard against that. We've got to be like that woman that, remember, punched through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment and received that power. You know, in this journey, when you come to this point of your senses and this realization that I'm here to be one with my Father, when you recognize that, don't let anything get in your way. Don't let any obstacle be put there and say, well, I better back off and wait. Go for it. If there's one thing in life you should be 100% zealous for, it's your relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's what being a Christian is all about. That's why Christ is in you. He's in you so that you can be one with God. And in John 17:3, did I read this? No, I didn't. I forgot to. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What's eternal life? What's destiny? What's this all about? That we can know him as he's to be known, as he really is. And you know, I see a lot of people, when they get this hunger and desire to return to the Father, you feel, come, let us return to the Lord, that pull inside. Things get in the way, don't they? There can be distractions. Sometimes the biggest distraction is religion, church. You're on your journey back to the Father and you land in this church and they say, yeah, that's where you're going. You, God wants you to be one with them, but here's our agenda. You got to do this first. You got to go through this maze and then you'll get to where you want to go. Jesus died for you so that there is no need for any other mediator. There's clear, open space between you and the heart of God. Don't let anything get in the way. Paul warned about that in Galatians, didn't he? They'd been given the word of grace, the revelation of grace. In Galatians it says, for freedom's sake you're set free. Free to do what? Be one with the Father. Walk with God. Be in relationship with him. What happened to the Galatians? They started coming in with this legalism. Paul said, if anyone preaches another message, let him be accursed. So Paul's warning them. If people are coming in with another message, what he's saying is the messenger is not greater than the message. I'm sure there are people coming in saying, hey, we're apostles, we're important, listen to us. He said, uh-oh, if it's not the revelation of the grace of God, if it's not centered around Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you're not free to pursue him, reject it. But Paul goes on to say, if an angel comes with a different message, reject the angel. Then he says, if I come to you with a different message, kick me out. Now, Paul founded the church. He was their apostle. He was their founding father. But he's saying, if someone gets in the way of you walking with the Lord, if it's me, get me out of the way. So, if religion gets in the way, if church gets in the way, don't put up with it. Just move through it. The love of God is greater than any of those things. I used to think, you know, people would be in situations where, and I'm talking about church situations, where things were going on that weren't right. And you kind of tell them, you know, hang in there, maybe you can change it, whatever. And we've all been in places like that. And I'm just feeling now kind of that if something is toxic to you, your spirit, don't take it in your system anymore. Amen. We don't have time to waste. You know what poisons your heart. Just don't do it. Sometimes people can be trying to do a religious agenda, be faithful to it, and at the same time they're betraying their own heart before God. I have felt this before. I felt my own heart just kind of breaking in a wrong way. I was doing the things I was supposed to be doing, but I wasn't doing what God put in my heart to do. And that again is something comes between us and the Father. Jesus gave up his life on the cross for you so there would never be a barrier between you and God. Amen. He died on the cross so that you are reconciled, one with the Father. We need to value that. We need to believe it. And recognize that you are absolutely free to pursue the Father with all that's within you. That's what God is after. I pray that what we do here as an assembly, as a fellowship, doesn't get in the way. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If it does, honor God before you honor Living Springs, please. Or me or anyone else. Let's stand. Father, bless the word to our hearts. Help us to recognize our freedom, Lord. Our freedom to love you, to give ourselves over to you. Help us to recognize how much you want us to be totally wrapped up in your presence. This is our spiritual journey. We're returning to our Father's heart. And you're welcoming us with all your loving arms. Your heart is open to us. You're welcoming us as we are, your sons and your daughters. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. Amen.
Hey, David.